Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding year-end 2015 financial results. I now hand over to Mr. Mehmet Kutman, Chairman, Mr. Alpaç Demirel, Deputy CEO, Ms. Ferda Ürgür, CFO. Sir, madam, please go ahead.
Hello. I would like to welcome all the participants of this call. This is Alpaç Demirel, the Deputy CEO of the company. I would directly go into the snapshot of this year, how this went, the development during the year, and all of those. First, let's start with the crew side. On the crew side, the company posted an increase of 28%. This is pro forma numbers, including the whole year for new acquisition, which is Malta. If you just want to see the organic growth, which means what we had in portfolio last year as compared to their performance this year, there is a 10% increase. The company organically grew on the crew side 10%, which overpassed both global and the MED growth. Global growth stood around 3.2%. The fastest growing market, MED market, Mediterranean market, grew by 6%, and our assets grew by 10%, well overpassing and outperforming the global and regional markets. This was reflected into the revenues and EBITDA of crew side as well. You would see in the executive summary page of the document that we circulated, 0.1% increase in crew revenues, but this is not a good representation of the result as it is impacted by the euro-US dollar parity decrease of 16%. If we eliminate the parity effect, the organic growth of the crew side stood around 10% on the revenue side. In this growth, EBITDA level at an increase of 18% as compared to same period in 2014. More impressively, the cruise margin, the cruise business segmental margin, grew by 5.1%. Last year it was 67.3%, the EBITDA margin of the cruise segment. This year it was around 72.4%. When we move to cargo side, the cargo business performed relatively, I would say, stable as compared to last year. The slight decrease was compensated by the overachievement of cruise business. There is a good news on the cargo side as well. In the Port of Antalya, we've been seeing an increase for the last two quarters, followed by a five consecutive decrease in the volumes. The Q3 and Q4 of 2015 has showed some signs of recovery, although small, but this is basically due to the diversification of the goods as well as increase of imports. The imports, as compared to same period last year in 2014, they increased by 26% in 2015. The weight of marble cargo in containers came from 75% of the exports to 69% of the export. Meanwhile, we've been trying to diversify the product that the port is handling, and we achieved that through introducing new goods such as furniture as well as PVCs and others as well. Those were all imports and reflected into the increase in imports and export mix. When we look at the EBITDA line, The commercial segment EBITDA decreased a little bit, almost, I would say, stable as last year if we eliminate the parity effect as well. The good thing on that front as well, the margins improved by 2.7% as well. When you look at the consolidated margin, EBITDA margin, the company performed, although decreasing commercial side revenues and EBITDA, which was compensated by cruise side, it performed, overperformed 2014, slightly above last year's performance. And in addition to that, improving the margins with 4.2%. So that's a snapshot of basically what happened on the financial and operational front in 2015. And there are other, I would say, good improvements as well. When we go towards the end of the presentation, we'll see that there was a new entry into the company in terms of shareholding, where EBRD has acquired a stake in the company of around 10.8%, where through a capital increase, where the 100% shareholder Global Investment Holdings has got diluted down to 89%, and the consideration for this 10.8% primary was 60 million, which translates into 53.4 million euros. And this also had a positive effect on the net debt to EBITDA ratio of the company, which brought it from 3.8 to 3%. And with the introduction of EBRD into the group, it had both hard and soft, I would say, benefits to the company. With the introduction of EBRD, we're going to be, we have restructured the board, formed audit and risk committees and remuneration committees. There was the internal audit function has been strengthened, and a dividend policy in line with bond covenants were introduced as well. And just to give you another some information on another newcomer into the group, maybe people would want to know about this as well. Malta is a 65-year concession, which started in 2002. We, as GPH, we have got into this investment through a share acquisition of indirect and direct share acquisition of 55.6%. And to give you an idea about the size of the operation, this year it's going to handle around 750,000 passengers. And the EBITDA of the company is going to be around 5 million US dollars. And Dubrovnik is a new, still in progress, but almost granted or almost acquired asset, where together with our minority partner Bouygues of France, we have been announced as the preferred bidder and winner of the tender. Now it's a 40-year concession. The project involves has three functions in it. One of them is a new terminal building, another one is around 15,000 square meters usable area shopping complex, a car park, and a bus garage. The concession is for 40 years. We are now at a stage where we signed the pre-agreement, which is a precondition for obtaining the construction permit. And once we have the construction permit, the concession agreement that was an annex to the pre-agreement becomes enforceable. So we are at the stage where we are trying to obtain the construction permit. And as per our estimates. We're going to take over the operations of the company as well as the transfer of the site, let's say around September of this year. The construction is estimated to continue for between 24 to 26 months. So this means that within 2018, everything is going to be up and running. And once everything is up and running, the estimated contribution to the group's EBITDA is around 10 million euros. That's basically a snapshot of how 2015 went, both on the financial and development side and operations as well. And now we can take the questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask a question. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Loïc de Robert from Aventurum. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for hosting the call. I have a question on the recovery of the throughput at Port Akdeniz. I mean, if you could comment about the key drivers of the improvement. I mean, obviously, exports to China, marble exports to China were an issue. So if it's just a stabilization of that, or if it's the diversification you have been talking about in the past quarters that has really helped stabilize the throughput at this port. Thanks.
Okay. Actually, it's a mixture of both. As you might know, and you've seen in the presentation, the overall Turkey marble during 2015, the overall Turkish marble exports decreased by 13%, whereas we have, as Port Akdeniz, experienced around 8%. And so with the recovery at the last two quarters of 2015, we have been seeing signs of the inventories in Chinese construction suppliers have been diminishing, so they've started buying again. And with a small recovery in the construction sector as well, though we're estimating that those small increases will be bigger. They're never going to be around 20, 40, 50% increase a year, but we're probably going to start experiencing a little bit more faster recovery on the marble front. And in addition to that, we've been working on diversifying the cargo mix, which we achieved to do so, increasing the imports at the same time, which is a higher yield cargo. So it's a mixture of both, and we're pretty much optimistic for the year as well. And this is evidenced by first 2 months performance of the company as well. First 2 months have been overperforming both last year and our budget figures as well. So on the Akdeniz front, we're very hopeful and are already started seeing recovery.
I think it's also good to add on to Arpak Bey, it's also good to give some numbers. First 2 months of 2015, they've done 23,626 EU. Versus 25,877.
Sorry to interrupt you. There's a lot of background noise. I can't hear very well what you're saying. I don't know if you're shifting papers around, but it's very difficult to understand what you're saying.
It's not from us. I'm not shifting papers, but just to put some numbers to what Arpak Bey said, first 2 months, like for like, 23,626 TU in 2015 versus 25,877 TU for 2016. Versus a budget that the management did, 22,512. So it's about a little bit of 12 to 14% above last year and about 15% above the budget that they have they've done. The revenue per TU is up from 184 to 180, 190 practically. That's on the container side. On the bulk cargo side, again, like for like, 60,000 tons versus 91,000 tons this year. And on the general cargo, that's down 120 versus 85 this year.
Okay, thank you. I have another question about the transaction with the EBRD, and on the slide which you included in the pack, slide 12, you said that you have approved the dividend policy that you've been talking about in prior conference calls. Can you tell us what the dividend policy is?
It's in line with the Eurobond covenants, and the details Arpak Bey or Ferda Hanım will mention.
Actually, it is same with the in line with the covenants of the bond. It's 50%, the maximum dividend, but limited with 50% of the net profit after tax, adjusted for IFRS.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Our next question is from Ant Mutay from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes, my question.
Before the question, I think our dividend policy is posted on our website, so you could check on the website. There's further details. I would kindly refer to the website to check on the dividend policy. Sorry, go ahead with the question, please.
Well, the problem is my question was about the dividend policy as well, so everything's answered, and I will look at the website. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01. We have no further questions. Back to you for the conclusion. We have another question coming through from Rabin Ahmed from Apollo. Please go ahead.
Hi, my correct name is Rodney Thomas. Thanks for doing the call. Just one question. What's the driver of the increase in the revenue per TEU? Because since obviously that's helpful, but it's also helpful to know what's happening that's increasing pricing.
Tariff increase, very simple.
Tariff increase, in addition to that increase of imports in the import-export, the full import in the import-export mix, and more of the services being given to the same containers, basically. Stuffing, unstuffing, and all of those.
So three factors: tariff increase, cargo mix change from export to import, as well as more services given to each individual container.
Okay, thank you very much.
And if you want the numerical breakdown, we'll be happy to forward it to you.
Thanks.
Offline, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Boris Fischer. Please go ahead.
Hi. The tourism industry in Turkey has recently been hurt by disruptions in the Mediterranean. So can you comment on how you expect this to affect your own business in the cruise segment? Did you?
Thank you for the question. I'll comment a few things, and I'm sure Arpak Bey and Ferda Hanım will have further comments to put more numbers into the context. The most important thing is for the ships not to leave the Mediterranean. There has been an impact, correct, for the Turkish ports, but that has shifted to the West Med ports, be it Barcelona or Malta. We already saw that in the first month and first 2 months, with the traffic increase in Barcelona, for example. So as long as the ships don't leave the Mediterranean, hopefully we will catch them in one or other ports around the Mediterranean. We're seeing our first cruise call, for example, this coming month or next month, if I'm not wrong, in Montenegro. Normally they don't call on bar. We're going to see our first call. But to put it into numbers and context, I'll let my colleagues talk.
Actually, the impact in Kuşadası is around $1.8 million. It is the revenue line, and in Antalya, it's $1.5 million. So it is a very small percentage of the revenues that we lost in our ports, but I'm sure we're gonna be recovering those in other ports. And that is basically in line with our strategy as well. So we're trying to be present in all three major parts or markets, which are Caribbean, Europe, Mediterranean, and Asia as well. So we know the number of ships coming into the market, so the market size is gonna be, is growing. So it's a matter of where we service those vessels. If the trends are changing from, let's say, this year, from, let's say, Asia back to Europe, we capture them at Europe. If the trend next year, let's say, goes from Europe to Asia, we are catching with them with our Asian ports. If it is Caribbean, that is becoming fashionable, then we are about being present in Caribbean, we're gonna be catching those demand as well. So we're gonna be growing with the market, and as we acquire assets, we're gonna be overgrabbing the market as well.
Understood. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Rumen Ivanov from Aiskanin. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much for hosting the call. I had a question regarding the shift of ships from the Eastern Med to the Western Med and from Kuşadası and Antalya to other ports. Can you clarify what is causing this issue?
Well, I mean, it's geopolitics, basically. These waters, the same is applicable to Greek ports as well, too, for sure. These waters, because of what's happening in Syria and surrounding, is full of, let's say, military navy ships. And the bookings, especially for